But tell us who you are.
Thank you. Peter Kamau is my name, born again from Kenya, Nairobi. Married to one wife, two kids at the moment, expecting the third one in November. Just because I'm with the church planters, let me say I'm also a church planter, which is super exciting just being here, I think. I was just thinking myself, maybe I need to be hanging out more with people who are thinking of church planters. There's so many ideas coming. I was writing, and I think I got almost a whole sort of page full of the things I'm thinking, I'm collecting from here, and I'm just so excited. So thank you for having me here. Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of that journey from, you launched, but that sort of came out of a church that had been started in 2017.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit of that journey for you and preparation?
It's more of an interesting journey, I think, in terms of, at some point I was quite convinced I needed to be a sort of pastor. And then that conviction moved from just being a pastor to actually thinking more and more of church plant. So my training at Ice of Africa, where I met Andy and others, and I think I got a real desire to just be involved in the church more, and just seeing that there are fewer churches, fewer gospel workers on the front line. That became more and more of a need. Then I came to Cornhill, and praise the Lord for Richard here and others. There was a day actually that I was listening to your talk on church planting, and I think I got very excited. I called my wife, my fiance by then, I wasn't quite married, and she was in Uganda, and I told her we're going to plant a church that evening after getting back to where I was staying. I think she really got worried. She obviously thought I was out of my mind, because I was planning to go and plant a church in Nakuru. You know Nakuru, I don't know whether I would describe that as further west of Nairobi. And that's more nearer to my home area. So my heart was to go and plant a church there, which is much different from where I have ended up planting, which is just outside of Nairobi. And the way that has changed over the years. So when I went back to Kenya 2017 and started working with Eyes of Africa, with Andy and the team there, I think this church plant, I like to say honestly, is more of also a matter of convenience for me. Because as I continued to process about church planting, it was easier for me to plant in Nairobi, because I already had known a lot of people around, and I felt like I knew my way around there. And so and it was much, much easier, because already there was another church plant that was more given to helping other churches plant, which was another difficult to find a church that is willing to let go and support other new church plants. And that's how we ended up then, September 2021 planting. But actually we had hoped to plant before that, but COVID, you know, sort of disrupted everything. And we ended up saying we just need to go. September 2021, when COVID was sort of starting to die, I think it was the right moment as I look back now.
And you went out with, was it 20
adults? We had 25 adults and 6 toddlers.
From the existing plant, sort of 4 or 5 years old?
Yes, it was about 4 years old, because it's now 6 years old. Yeah, it was 4 years old. So 25 of us, and 6 toddlers. Yeah.
And give us an idea of the journey for the last 18 months or so.
It's been exciting, up and down. God has done things that is so exciting, but it's not something that I had planned in my mind or even envisioned would be. So we have moved from 25 of us to, I think the church membership, just this Sunday, I wasn't there in church, but they received 12 more members. And so we perhaps 92 or something in terms of the church formal membership. And on a Sunday, we have an average of 100 adults, and then the children has moved from 6 children to about 70, sort of, on a Sunday.
Do you want to say something about membership? That's a very high proportion of members compared to your average attendance.
I don't know. It's exciting to just have lots and lots of people being willing to formally commit to membership. So again, this is a borrowed thing that we have borrowed from the church we are coming from, and the whole idea of formal membership, where in the city has been this behavior of people just church hopping, moving just from one church to another. And we just want for people to recognize the importance of a local church. And so having a formal membership is just one way of just trying to tell people, can you see that actually it's so important that you belong to a church, you're committed to this church, you're regularly feeding on this particular church, and you're coming to this church. It's a sense in which sometimes some people have felt like that's a, you know, you are demanding so much from them, especially because even in the end there is sort of like vows. So when we are admitting them formally, we will parade them at the church front there. They will each give their own testimony, and they will sign sort of a paper. They don't always honor it. Some people might still go off. But I think it's even
like
then.
Like a church covenant.
It's church covenant. Yeah. They will look at the statement of the church. They will sign there that they will actually be abiding to it. They want to belong to it. I think we, yeah. So in God's kindness, yeah.
Is that a Sunday meeting, or is that a separate church members meeting, or is it a prayer meeting? Would it be the normal Sunday gathering?
Yeah, so that would be on a normal Sunday gathering. But then when we have the church membership meeting, we'll still have those people as well, the new people as well stand. Yeah. But we like to do it because on a Sunday gathering, we want even the people who are just coming, we want them to see that, and of course even our children to see that you can actually belong to a proper and just commit. Yeah.
And in terms of just raising up leaders, like the fact that you've got 12 people just joining membership and you're not even there suggests that you've managed to empower quite a lot of people. How has that worked? Who've got sort of in leadership?
Well, I think we are part of the people who have leaped where we didn't we didn't quite so. But praise the Lord that we do have men and women who I think now can be trusted. So I do have an associate pastor, co-elder. He's called Patrick. Very, very gentle, very good man. He's very pastoral. And we have been with him right from the start. But when we were planting, part of me correcting the core team, I had collected four men who are like the core of the core team. You know, these were the kind of guys who sort of like elders in a sense, and Patrick was part of that. And there's another gentleman called James Wainaina, whom you might know. There's another guy who it didn't quite work out well, but he was called Lawrence Chege as well. And these men, plus now, I think in God's kindness, we have so many other people in the congregation. So we now currently have about 12 deacons and deaconesses who we appointed this January, the beginning of the year, who are helping sort of as part of the leadership. And we have about 4 or 5 men in church right now who can comfortably preach on a Sunday. So even when I'm not there, even Patrick might only preach once, and there will be other men who will sort of comfortably preach at the service, which is, I think, a big blessing to us. Part of that has come as a result of that connection with where I was working before, Ice of Africa, where there has been people who have been trained already. And as they have become part of the church, then it's way, way easier for us. But that's something we definitely thinking about in terms of building more leaders. We hope that we can do a better job, because that might help with our growing sort of numbers. I feel like we need a lot. I feel like on one hand, we might have grown very fast, sort of like a tree, but we need a lot of sort of holding that to stay on. A lot of people need discipleship and working with. And actually, I'm feeling like I need, and perhaps me and Patrick need to go back a bit of a step and do more of work of building these people and working one-to-one with these other people, other men, so that we can have more stronger base. Yeah.
I think you said before you recommend having apprentices, trainees, even at a church plant.
Oh, yeah. That has worked wonders for us. So right from the word go, actually the first day when we were planting, we got an apprentice. Those days I was working for Ice of Africa, where they deal with apprentices. And I was the one who was in charge of actually allocating apprentices. So I allocated an apprentice to myself, which sort of worked very well. And by God's grace, again, as I was trying to choose from among the many, because I was in charge of it, I was able to get a very good gentleman.
Oh,
Well, partly because we normally would have met them only about 2 weeks of training. So sometimes it's always a guesswork as to whether you get the right person or not. But they were very godly, very humble young man, actually, who came when, the church plant basically has no structures when you're beginning. You know, everything on a Sunday, it's like everybody needs to do everything that needs to be done. And so he was very kind, and he has been with us now for 2 years almost. So by August, a very humble man. He wants to be a pastor, which works for us. And now we are actually thinking how to keep him as a staff member, because he's just definitely a good guy. But I think the importance of having the apprentices has been for us hugely helpful, because then we have been able to do things like the door knocking that Matt was talking about. So that, because we have them in the course of the week, and what do you do in the course of the week if there isn't much to be done in the office? Just walk around, do a lot of street evangelism. We have been able to do with them children's work even in the course of the week, like we have tried to run something on every Saturday. So we have a small little play pack that we sort of got last year. So it's sort of the many kids who are coming, and our space is small. So the only way we could have been able to get lots of kids occupied is we have small size like this one, and we put some of the things for children to play. And we have been asking ourselves, how do you utilize it? So the way we utilize it, like on a Saturday, is to invite the children in the community just to come for a free time in the play park.
And as they do that, in between, they stop, and one of the apprentices just teaches them the gospel. And they're happy to keep on coming. And so apprentices then come in handy because they are hands-on, they are available almost, I want to say, 24 hours. If you need them, they are not married. And that's one of the rules for ICE of Africa. So they have enough, they have time on their hands, and they're so enthusiastic. They actually have more energy, and they are so passionate to do the work. I think that has been a blessing. So we have moved from having one apprentice to two apprentices. So in September as well, we also get to apprentices. Yeah.
So in terms of engagement, you've got the door-to-door stuff.
Yeah.
You've got the kids coming in even on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But also a lot of kids work on Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Are there other stuff that's going on in terms of this kind of funnel and engagement in different ways?
This is very clever. I should have thought about all these ideas. But something else that we have done in the past I can think about. So we realize the area we are in has all these young families. So that's really, right now our church, the composition is 35 years and below. That's the kind of congregation we have. And so people are so much worried about children. And I think it's becoming almost an idol, I think, where we are, where people are interested in proper education for their children. And therefore, we are trying to ride on that as well and organize very good, well-running children's ministry. That's why we got a staff, a children's worker last year now, who is supported by Grace Church Beckenham. And I think that's super working well for us. And just before I came here, we just expanded to 4 new classes for children as well. We are trying to say to every parent who knocks on our door, we are serious about children. And of course, we are convicted biblically that children should be able to hear the gospel. But we also try to tell them, hey, we are organizing very well on the ages, and we have teachers, and we have people who have thought upfront about the curriculum. So this is something that we are doing. So children's work has been one of the ways in which we are engaging the community. And the result of it is sometimes we have seen even some of the children who come and their parents don't come, some of those parents started to come to the church now. Their children have been coming for a couple of times or weeks. They want to come. There are even some of the nannies who would bring children to our church. And then with time, we started seeing the parents come to church as well. And they are happy to knock on our doors. That's been great. We've also had Boozy Choma. I don't know how we would call that.
So it's a bit like this butchery thing, I think, I guess. Goat is the...
Goat eating. So, and invite the men. So again, we're trying to target different groups of people. So there will be children. So for the men, we roast sort of like the goat. Like last year, we roasted a goat and we invited the men in the community. And the only thing we said is we just wanted men to speak. Say, hey, men in the society don't have voice. Mm. Nowhere. Mm. Men are beaten right, left, mm. and center. We want you to come here. We want you to speak. Open up the fellow men. Mm. So we went into the small groups, and we had every group. We had a member of the church, men in the church. And we just wanted men to speak. It's so good. Men poured out their hearts, their frustrations. We prayed together. And we pointed. I did a bit of a talk as well at the end, and just pointing them to Christ Jesus. Mm. It's just so exciting. Mm. So we're hoping it worked as well. So we're also hoping to do it this year as well. Yeah.
Can I ask about your context?
Yeah.
I've never been to Kenya. So help
you should.
help me understand what your context is like to Nairobi, big city. Where are you in the city? You city centre? Are you right out in the suburbs?
Yeah.
Who lives there? Are they wealthy? Are they poor? Are they students? Are they giving it to me?
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good question. So we are at the periphery of the city, sort of what you might call the bedroom area. So people work in the city, and this is where they sort of sleep. The place I am is what you might call the working class. So a lot of people that are in our congregation are people who go to the city to work. They are people who are just starting out in their jobs, some of them internships, some of them just their first jobs. They have young families. They are renting houses there, two bedroom, one bedroom. Something you call a bed seat. I don't know whether here what the name you might have for it here. So that's the kind of people that I'm actually having. But amidst that, there is also another group of people, like where we are, who are the natives of that place. That place has sort of grown because of the city is expanding. But there are people who are originally from there, and they're still there. Now, it's part of the group we're also trying to reach out, because their older parents would have been so much into church, and they still do. They will go to these mainstream churches. We have Presbyterian, we have the Anglican Church. But their own sons and grandchildren, they are not going to that church, and they have now been caught up into drugs and substance abuse. And I think also they may be caught up in just feeling like their town or village has been sort of occupied by all these newcomers who are in these flats and living around, and they seem to be doing well in life, and they don't seem to be doing well in life, and this is their space.
And it's like those guys, Swahili, they might struggle to speak English, some of those people that are more native to that area.
Yeah, some of them. But we also have, so it's kind of an interesting mix of people, because apart from this working class, there will be other people who you would say are even much poorer. They didn't go all the way up to the tertiary level of education. They might be working for this working class. Mm-hmm. So they might be working in their houses as nannies. They might be working in these estates as watchmen. And but interestingly, so their children, so they live close by to the church. Their children are going to the school and they can understand English. So they want them to come to our church. But the parents are struggling to understand English, but they also want to come to our church. And that's been sometimes a bit of a struggle for us since we've planted, knowing how both to reach out to them. They want to come. Their children are coming, and they're happy for their children to come. They come, and sometimes they're using English, so our service is in English, and sometimes that might be a difficult for them. Does that help with the
question? So the journey into the city centre.
Yeah.
People driving, getting buses, going on train. Is it half an hour, 45 minutes?
That's a good question. So most of the people will actually just bump into a bus and head to the city. It's normally crazy traffic, and in most cases, they will spend an hour on the traffic to the city and an hour back from the city in the evening. Sometimes even 2 hours, sometimes just crazy 3 hours or something.
And we described it as being working class.
Yeah.
What level of education have people had? Have they stayed at school until 16? Have they stayed till 18?
So these are people who would have gone most up to the tertiary level. What I mean there is university level kind of training. They just finished uni maybe at the age of 23, 24, 25,
that kind of an age. So it's like the old version of that, like you're very much like the pattern, but like,
oh yes,
but like mixed in with a whole range of other special and
yes
needs that very thing,
whereas
a bit further,
more
like all reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Make sense?
Yeah, really helpful.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Just talk about the context. I know you said substance abuse, alcoholism.
Yeah.
Is that issue? What's your kind of thinking on that at the moment in terms of that as a context to engage with?
We haven't gotten our act together. As in, for whatever reason, I don't know why I never did proper research when we were about to plant, because some of these things I've only come to realize them later on when I have been there. But yeah, because of that, right now what we are thinking is being just on our books, and we're trying to figure out what to do is to open up the church to be a place where those alcoholics can feel that they are welcome, even in the course of the week. So even with these new structures that we have built for Sunday school, part of what we hope to use them in the course of the week is some type of like rehabilitation, a place where those people who are struggling can be able to come over. Initially, we had given them a big name. We are calling it Gospel Cafe, where people who just outside there, you just welcome to the church. Church is not just a place for good people, nicely dressed people. You guys come even in the course of the week. We're happy to chat with you, and we're happy to see what we can help. And especially because somebody told me something I didn't know. He said, look, everybody who is struggling with alcoholism, it's not just a one thing that's the cause of it. He says some of them are having just stress out of this or out of this. So we just need to open our ears and listen to them. The other thing we did was things like our service, like one of the things on a Holy Communion. So we decided not to use wine, especially because if people are struggling with alcoholism, we don't want them coming to church and we are sort of taking them back to Egypt, trying to run away. So we only use sort of juice that hopefully helps them to work. Yeah, I don't know what that answers.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
John, you've been through some church planter training in Kenya. You knocked around a bit with the city guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Any kind of big thing that you've found? Either, actually, I'm really glad that I learned that because, you know, now I'm seeing the fruit of that, or anything that you were like to learn that, but actually it's very different on the ground.
So we did that city to city thing, Tim Keller sent it a book for a year, the incubator. I think the most helpful thing I still remember from Tim Keller, and it was very helpful from him, is it's just the idea of thinking through the church plant. I think I was initially very excited just to go, but I think it just made me to think through. So for everything we want to do, why we want to do it, and how better can we be able to do it? I think that's been helpful even now. So for everything we want to do, whether it's an outreach, I want to give it a little bit, just a little bit of thought why we want to do it and how we might actually be able to approach it. I think something else I found very helpful, and I never learned it even though I was taught until on the ground, is the things that you think are going to work versus the things that eventually will work. So I was partially disappointed when we were planting. There are some people who pulled out the last minute, and I was really banking on them. Because I thought if I went with so-and-so, they are good in music, they're good in this, then the church is going to be vibrant. And then they pulled out, and I almost felt like I was rejected at that particular moment. I almost felt like things are not going to work the way I had thought. And yet God, in his own kindness, and I think it was God teaching me the hard lesson, that it is God who will build his church. It's not me, it's not my many skills. He ended up bringing people who I thought were not that good. I was happy anyway as a church plant. Anyone who comes, it doesn't depend whether they can even speak or not. It's good for my numbers. But in the end, I think God has taught me a hard lesson. When some of those people have become so devoted, they are what I might describe today as a pillar of the church. And yet I would have, honestly speaking, have disregarded them. I would have actually chosen other people and left them out, if I had a choice. So that has been, I think, a humbling lesson to be about who I think, even today I'm still making those mistakes, who I think would actually do a better job versus who actually ends up being a good
person. Thank you. Great. What can we pray particularly?
feel like this is my one standard prayer item for me and the church. Pray for us that we'll be faithful for the long overhaul, preaching, proclaiming the gospel. Just being here has just reminded me another prayer item. Just pray that myself and maybe Patrick and also who are in the leadership will sort of remain in the church planting mood. I think I love that mood of just thinking about reaching out, because I feel, because we are now getting to 100, I feel like I'm so tempted to start resting.
Maintenance.
Yeah, sort of maintenance and just let's just stay like that. Just pray for me that you have this desire to reach out to the community and not just give up and just start resting.
Right, let's pray.